Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Great to be in one of my favorite places to preach. You know why? Because I love the fact that you always exhibit a balance of love to worship and love for the Word. And you have to have that. That's why Jesus said we don't just worship Him in spirit. It's not just about inspiration. It's not just about the sensational and goosebumps and how you feel when you start dancing under the Lord, although that's great. But it's also about truth. That's not just inspiration, that's instruction. That's discipline. That's how you're going to live your life. Not just the proclamations that you make. Amen. And when you have that kind of balance, you can have self-control. You can have correct behavior. Correct behavior comes from correct theology. If you're not taught the Word of God properly, if it's given to you in a distorted, twisted manner, you're not going to behave right. Your conduct is going to be misconstrued and distorted. But when you have a balance of inspiration of the Spirit and instruction from the Word of God, it keeps you in a place of self-control and temperance and the ability to not only listen to the voice of God to be sensitive, but to be submissive. You can't just be sensitive to what you hear. You got to be submissive to what you hear. Yeah, Lord, I know you could part the Red Sea and feed multitudes with a few loaves and fish. That's all great. But God doesn't just want your acknowledgement. He doesn't want you just your mental acceptance. He wants you to start making a journey. He wants you to walk with Him. The Bible said Moses was in on the ways of God. He knew the ways of God. He knew the purposes of God. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. So Moses got to be in on, you know, the making of the blueprint, whereas Israel just saw the acts. I don't want to just see the acts. I want to get behind the scenes. You can do that when you're prayerful, and you can do that when you're submissive to the things of God. Amen. Getting ready to read from 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll get there in just a moment. I do have a new book with me. It's book 3 in the Construction Zone series called God's Time Zone. I also have the Desperation Zone and the Impossibility Zone if you happen to not have those books. They're out in the foyer. Also, I have a couple of CDs. Now, these are not audio. These are Bible study CDs. Some of you subscribe to Day Today, which is a monthly email Bible study thing. These are past volumes. I have Day Today. There are 365 Bible studies on this CD compatible with Microsoft Word. I don't know what that would be compatible with if you have an Apple, but whatever they're... I'm still stuck in a PC world, so whatever that would be compatible with. And they're about 400 or 500 words a day, so it's not just a little 2 or 3 line devotional. It's meat to get into your spirit. I feel very strongly about this. This is a better prescription for $30 than people will spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, yea, even thousands of dollars on counseling and medication. The Word of God is a prescription for every aspect of your life. If you'll take this on a daily basis, I can guarantee you, and it's not my guarantee, because this is about the Word of God, but if you got on a steady diet of this every day for a year, I guarantee you, you'd feel better physically. You'd be better spiritually. You'd be more submissive to the things of God. Amen. You'd appreciate your pastor more. And some of you already appreciate him a lot, so you just would never give him any trouble. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Then I have Day Today Year 2, so I've got two different, both of them have 365 Bible studies on them, so you can get those two and keep yourself busy in the Word of God. And sometimes I do studies verse by verse in a particular book, like the book of Ephesians. We've gone through several chapters and breaking it down verse by verse. We get into different themes, topical studies. I break up the monotony with sometimes short stories and poetry. So there's there's a variety of things to appeal to various readers and students of the Bible. And so you can look at that after service. And everybody say, thank you, Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 19. Again, it's great to be here in the perfect will of God. I've been asking the Lord lately to get me back to even a more Spirit-led schedule. I have people call me, want me to come, but I don't want to just fill up a weekend to go somewhere, and I have a family to take care of, so there's bills to pay. But I want to be in the perfect will of God in the timing of the Spirit, because there are some things that need to be said today that's going to help somebody today. And whatever God can do in a prophetic connection for this church today and tonight will only enhance the harvest when you have a pure evangelist in Brother Smith come next weekend. Because he'll not be coming to minister to the body. He'll be coming to reap the harvest. But there are some things the Lord would like to talk to you about and encourage you with today. And even in a service like that, I always say the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, is two-edged. There's a blade that cuts and penetrates and ministers to the saint. At the same time, there's a blade of conviction and hope and healing and deliverance that can cut to the heart of a sinner today. So no matter where you're at in the spectrum of experience with God, this is your first day ever to be in a church or a Pentecostal church or just a few times, or you've been here for 30 years, the Lord wants to talk to you. There's something for you to glean. And the reason I know that is if you're breathing, if you're flesh and blood, there are common dilemmas that all of us are facing. There are situations and temptations, and there's a predator of hell trying to destroy everybody in this room. Amen. 1 Kings 19, the scripture said, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, or saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. We'll stop there for a moment. He went a day's journey into the wilderness. Turn to somebody and ask him, which is also the title of this message, where is your journey taking you? Where is your journey taking you? Praise God. Lift your hands to the Lord. We thank you for the word of God today. Thank you for the ministry of the Spirit. I pray that you'll give us the whole counsel of God today, not only in the preaching of the infallible word, but in that specific personal ministry that somebody may receive today. In the name of Jesus, everybody shout in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. First of all, if you look at this text, here is a man of God, obedient to God, desirous to do things that are not just common or according to the majority opinion, but Elijah, that gruff-looking, that wild-looking man, gruff in his appearance. When he opened his voice, it probably sounded like a thunderstorm, resonant, full of authority and power. He has just been on the mountain of Carmel. He has seen the glory of God work for him. The fire has come down and licked up the saturated altar and sacrifice, the burnt offering. 450 prophets of Baal have been slain, beheaded, their blood coloring the Kishon River crimson. And news has gotten back to Ahab. The Bible said Ahab told Jezebel, everybody say all. All. Go back to verse 1 so they can see that. And there it is. all that Elijah. Now, that means she's getting a detailed description of the demonstration of the Spirit. Elijah has stood on that mountain and said, "How long will ye halt between two opinions?" It's a common question today. How long will you be torn between the ideologies of the Word and the instructions of the world? How long will you be torn between the philosophy of somebody that has no regard or respect for the things of God, or somebody that has faith and a belief system that is connected to the Word of God? How long will you be torn between the opinions of somebody standing on the quicksands of sensuality that eventually is going to disappear from your view, or somebody that's standing on a solid rock who's got solidity and faithfulness and character about him? How long will you halt between those two opinions? How long will you halt between the voice of a stranger and the vision of the shepherd? It's always amazing to me how folks can listen to a Judas who hasn't been praying for them and ignore a pastor who's fasting and praying for them. And I've been saying this quite often lately, but it bears repeating over and over again in this generation. If you hang with Judas, you're going to hang with Judas. Because if you listen to an influence in your life that's telling you all the things that you can get by with, and they hadn't been praying for you, they have not been on their faces standing in the gap fighting hell for you, why would you listen to them and not listen to the man of God? Give me a man of God like Elijah that will say, "We're not going to listen to opinion. What does the Word of God say?" He brought a monotheistic revelation back to Israel. Baal is not God. One of the pantheistic numbers of idols is not God. Jehovah is God. And God proved himself to Elijah on that mountain by answering with fire. But now Ahab and Jezebel's all upset. And all that he tells Jezebel, there's only one thing that she focuses on. In fact, Ahab doesn't even call Baal's prophet false. He just says they've slain all the prophets. Ahab, you just got a revelation. They're not prophets. They're false. Why are you still giving them credit? And they're in the grave. Their bodies have been buried. Their blood has been spilled on the ground. And you're still calling them prophets because he's scared to death of Jezebel. That's all she could focus on. I don't want to hear about the move of God. I don't want to hear about the rain. I want to hear about the things of my pride and my ambitions that have been brought to ruin. See, if you can only concentrate on the things that God is bringing to ruin in your life and not on the rain of the Holy Ghost, you're in trouble. You've rung the Jezebel. If you become anti-authority, anti-prophet, I don't need to hear from God. I can stay at home and get it from God. I don't have to go to church that much. I don't have to be that faithful to the house of God. Listen, I can bring up a nice video clip of a sunrise on my computer off the internet. And I can take that video clip of that sunrise because, you know, the plants in the garden, the flowers need to grow, and they got to have photosynthesis, which means they got to have plenty of water and they got to have sunlight. So I can take that. Can I take that video clip of that sunrise and just go out there and hold it over the flower? Isn't that going to help it grow? Well, it's a sunrise, isn't it? Oh, it's simulated. Oh, there's something. There's a difference between simulated Christianity and real Christianity. I know we're living in a generation of virtual reality, but when you come to the church of the living God, it's revelation. It's thus saith the Lord. It's that which is real. It's not based on fantasy. It's not based on the imaginations of men. It's not based on what you might think about it or what an educated opinion or statistics might say about it or sociological observation might say about it. It's what does the Word of God say about it? And if it contradicts the Word of God, I got to stay with the Word. You can't stay at home and just get what you need from God off the internet, off of a television, off of a radio program. You got to get with the people of God. You have to have a preacher in your life, a man of God who preaches the word. That's the son. We're not just talking about S-U-N. We're talking about the S-O-N of God. And the only way I'm going to grow is if I get exposure to the son of God. But I can't get that by staying at home. I've got to be faithful to the house of God. Oh, let's magnify him in Jesus' name. I don't know who's been talking to you. I don't know who's been getting your ear lately, but there's a spirit going around in our church age saying we don't need as much church as we used to have. That's biblically incorrect. The Bible teaches that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more we need the assembling of ourselves together. And it may not just be in the traditional form of a service, but there need to be prayer groups and Bible studies and people that are devoted to the Lord, not on a weekly basis, but a daily basis. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I don't need simulation. That's not going to help me. I need the real sunlight. I need the real thing. And the only way I'm going to get it is by coming together with the people of God. In Jesus' name. So Jezebel's upset. Jezebel has threatened the man of God. I'm going to kill you. Elijah, depleted, exhausted, now gives in to a spirit of fear and is on the run. The Bible said he arose and went for his life. And came to Beersheba. Beersheba simply means well of an oath. God's getting him back to a place of covenant. At least if you're going to run in fear, get to a place of God where you can pray, where you can get covenant minded, where you can get promise oriented. If I can trust the things that God is saying, then I know that all the threats of hell and all of the ideas of the world and all the attacks and accusations of the enemy is not going to bring me down if I can just get to a place where God is moving. Beersheba was in Judah. Judah was under the rulership of Jehoshaphat. So that means that he's in a place of praise, because that's what Judah means. Praise is not in the dominion of Jezebel. Now you see, you can't do this to the Lord and be anti-authority. You can't be doing this to God and trying to kill the preacher at the same time. Because praise is not in the dominion of Jezebel. That's why, regardless of what you're going through, if you can get on your feet, if you can clap your hands, if you can run the aisles a little bit, if you can get out and dance a little bit, if you can leap for joy, if you can strike another chorus, sing another song, write another verse, lift up the name of the Lord, if you can shout unto God with a voice of triumph, you leave the dominion of Jezebel and you come into a place of praise. And this is where God rules. Somebody might be on the run right now from a Jezebel, but if you can magnify him, I'm going to worship the Lord. Because when I start praising God, I'm telling the world, I think God is more powerful than my pressure. And we're all under pressure. But I'm not focusing on me right now. I'm focusing on God. We're not looking in the mirror and looking at myself. We're turning this around, and what I'm doing right now is a reflection of his grace. It's a definition of his mercy. It's a perspective that God, and through the principles of his book, is going to help me through this pressure. My praise is better than pressure. In fact, my praise is going to relieve the pressure. Everybody's got stress. Everybody's got dysfunctional family problems in the resume of your past. But that's a part of your testimony now. That's why your trouble today is your testimony tomorrow. And if I can get in the dominion of God, praising him, worshiping him. Blessed be the name of somebody needs to do that right now. Somebody needs to shake off the chains. Yeah, you got pressure. Some of you got financial difficulties. Some of you got problems with relatives. Some of you have business opportunities that have fallen through. But praise is better than pressure. Because pressure can be distracting. But praise is greater than distractions. Praise is also better than pleasure. Pleasures of the world. Sin for a season. Enjoyments of the sensual things that only binds you more and more every day. The addictions of the world, problems of the flesh, temptations that bring you down, alcohol that makes an alcoholic, drugs that makes a drug addict, promiscuity that puts disease and sexually transmitted disease in somebody's body, but not just that, guilt in the soul and shame on the face. But when you say, look, I can get in the presence of God. I can get beyond the dominion of those things. God's better than the pressure of the world and the pleasures of the world. Because pressure has to do with distractions. Pleasures have to do with attractions. But no matter the distractions of the world or the attractions of temptation, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to come to church and be a worshiper and get connected. Everybody in this room right now to get on their feet and shout hallelujah to the Lord. You ought to say, if there's one thing that's not going to cease, if there's one thing that's not going to settle down, if there's one area that's not going to become diminutive, if there's one place I'm not going to shrink, if there's one place that I'm not going to give an inch, if there's one area in my life that I'm not going to let the devil intimidate me, bind me, snare me, it's going to be in the area of praise and worship. Because when I live in Judah, when I live in praise, Jezebel can't touch me. Spirits of darkness and false doctrine cannot get me. Love him again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. The Bible said he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. So now he's been in Judah. Isn't that the way it is? One day in celebration, the next day in sorrow. One day in praise, the next day feeling alone and in isolation. And it really feels like isolation because you feel the coldness of loneliness, the frostiness of lost friendships, the wintriness of weariness. You feel the chill of betrayal and a loss of trust. We all go to that wilderness. In fact, Elijah, being considerate of his servant, leaves him in a place of praise. Sometimes you have to go to the wilderness by yourself. Don't drag your family there with you. You were the one attacked. You were the one that got offended. Don't put that in your kids. Don't pick up the phone and drag a cousin across town in it. Don't try to justify your beef with somebody by talking it out with people you don't need to talk it out with. You need to pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He went a day's journey into the wilderness. But just because you go into the wilderness doesn't mean you're going to stay there. You might be made in the wilderness, but you're not going to stay in the wilderness. Eventually, God will export you. You'll go somewhere else. But the wilderness has to be a part of it because there's a process. He comes to the wilderness. He sits down, the Bible says, under a juniper tree. Now, it could have been nonspecific. It could have been nondescript. It could have just said a tree. Left it to the speculation of the reader. But it said juniper tree. There were superstitions around the juniper tree. There were some in that day that believed if you burned the wood of a juniper tree, it would ward off poisonous snakes. Others believed that if you rubbed the oil exuding from the tree on your body, that would also keep away poisonous snakes. But those were the superstitions of the juniper tree. The simplicity of the juniper tree was, he's in the desert, he's in the wilderness, it's hot, he's tired, he's exhausted, he's got somebody tracking him down, trying to kill him. He's just looking for a place to rest. He's just looking for a place where the degrees will drop a little bit and the temperature and the pressure in his life won't be so hot. He's just looking for shade, because juniper trees were also known for their expansive shade. Now, if you live in a dry climate like I do, and this may not relate to you, you live in a more humid climate. But where I live, it's more dry, and it can be 95 degrees, and you can step into the shade, and you can feel a 10 to 15 degree drop almost instantaneously. And because we don't have the humidity, now here you have the humidity, you can get in the shade and you're still sweating. But this was a more arid climate where Elijah was, and it's 100 degrees. He's in the wilderness. It's hot. Wilderness is, we're not just talking about a bunch of trees. We're talking about wilderness in terms of desert land. Very scarce, very lonely. He just needs a tree to rest, sit down. Isn't that the way it is? That's the simplicity of the cross, isn't it? If I can just get to my spiritual juniper tree at the church, sometimes I just need a place to step into the shade of his presence, stand underneath the arms and the protective umbrella of the Almighty God. If I can just get in that secure place, step in where the temperature of anger and the heated emotions can drop a few degrees, and I can stop being a reactionary, and I can start listening to the voice of the Lord and be sensitive and cool down. Somebody needs to hear me in the Holy Ghost. You've been real upset about something, and you need to cool down. If you'll let the Holy Ghost give you a cooling off period, you'll make a better decision. Listen to me. If you leave this house today and you make this decision based on how upset you are, you're going to miss it, because you're going to make a decision based on human emotion, not spiritual stability. Praise the name of the Lord. You can say things when you're angry, things that can be very detrimental and hurting and abusive. The only way you can make that right is to come sit under the juniper tree of the cross for a little while. Sit under the shade of forgiveness and get your attitude adjusted. Drop your anger a few temperature degrees from about 105 down to about a pleasant 70 degrees. And go back and fix the conflict that you started. Boy, it got quiet in here. Did somebody drop me off at the local Baptist church? No, I didn't. I'm sorry. That's not throwing stones. There's some Baptists that live better Christian lives than Pentecostals. Anyway, I better not go there. And they don't have the Holy Ghost, so what's your excuse? I'm kind of stuck here for a moment, because I really got more to preach on this, but I feel like the Lord's dealing with somebody. And when I get on something like this, I don't see a specific face. I don't want to know who you are. I just know you're here. And so don't if I'm looking at you when I'm saying something, oh, he's looking right at me. So I'm kind of just keep scanning the crowd. But there's a situation here right now. If you don't get under the shade of forgiveness, if you don't come to that cool place of compassion, if you don't find rest and you keep trying to fix this thing in the weariness of your flesh, you're going to make very, very bad decisions, and these decisions will have perpetuating consequences. That means it will take more and more months to fix it, when if you'd have just cooled down a little bit. Help us, Holy Ghost. Let's lift our hands and wait on the Lord for a moment. And I know it's going to be very, very awkward if there's a couple sitting here right now and you know what you've been going through. I'm not trying to make you feel awkward. I'm trying to convict you in the Holy Ghost and challenge you in the Spirit. Everybody here has had relationship problems from one time or another. Just don't let this thing blossom into something that can't be fixed. Don't let this Don't let this thing become overwhelming. You can fix this if you'll come and sit down at the cross together. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Let's just pray for a moment. I've got to stay here a few minutes. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. There are more and more people in our generation that need rest. One of the statistics, sociological observations, so this isn't even just in the Pentecostal culture or the Christian world, but they talk about how men are bored and women are tired, and this is a dangerous combination creating the impetus for affairs, divorce. This is the real world, folks. I know a minute ago we were shouting, but now we're sharing in the things of God that's going to help us. Because if you don't take the word of God and have some practical application in your life, it really isn't going to help you. You can read it and quote it, but until you live it and practice it, it's not going to have power in it. It's getting plugged into it. I mean, there's power on the other side of that socket over there to light up a lamp or turn on a blow dryer or a chainsaw. But you got to plug in. If you don't get plugged in to what the Holy Ghost is telling you today, then don't blame God for not fixing your problem. The spiritual electricity is here to provide the source and the energy you need to do what is right and to make righteous decisions. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know what? We live in a generation that we want the microwave move of God. Let's get it in 5 minutes. Don't hold me here too long. I'm going to go down to the altar. I'm going to pray for 60 seconds, but then I'm done. There's some folks here in the next few weeks. You need to get down in this altar and break out of formality. Don't come down here and pray the same thing you've been praying. This is going to help somebody. Don't come down here and pray the same thing you've been praying for 6 weeks. You need to come down here, stand somewhere different in the altar so you don't fall into a routine that becomes a religious rut, that becomes self-religion. Praise God. We can even have that in Pentecost. Find a different place and linger under the cool shade of the cross. Oh, God. Because, see, when you come to the cross and you start resting in the presence of God and lingering in his presence, there's refreshing that will come. And not only that, there's angelic intervention that will come. Angels of the Lord are in this house today. That's not to spook you. That's just a spiritual and scriptural fact. Are not they all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? How many here have been born again? You're an heir of salvation. If the word of God is correct and you don't believe it's incorrect, there's angels here right now trying to minister to you. So now here's Elijah underneath the juniper tree. He's exhausted, dehydrated, and now he's full of self-pity. He thinks he's the only one doing anything for God. Somebody came here today saying, I'm the only one in our house trying to do things right for God. You need to get off that soapbox and use some of the soap in the box. He said, oh, it's enough now, Lord. Take me away. I'm not better than my fathers. He was on this pity party. Next verse, watch what happens. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him. Now, if Elijah just come and said, okay, that's good. I'm going to move on now. No angel. No divine intervention. No working of the supernatural. Somebody needs to stay at the cross a little longer. Somebody needs to stay in prayer just a few more minutes. I was taught by my mentor. It's the preacher, and this doesn't just apply to a preacher, but in reference to what he said to me, he said, it's the preacher that will sometimes just take the extra 10 minutes after service to pray. He's already prayed. It's already been another 15 minutes to study the Word of God. That's why a lot of times you'll notice, maybe you've noticed or haven't noticed, at the end of a service, I've been here in revival before, I go back over there after I've prayed for people in the altar, and I get the Bible, and I open it back up on my lap. I've already preached. I'm not going to come preach again, but I'm waiting on God. What could he tell me in the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes? That it's just adding a little bit more. If you would just linger a little longer, what angelic intervention is going to come? Because he slept. He's going to stay there a while. He's resting. The angel touches him and says, arise and eat. So he gets up. Now, verse 6, look what it says. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water, not at his feet, because there wasn't anything wrong with his steps. Didn't put him at his hands because he knew how to work. He was a farmer, a Tishbite. That was farming country. It was his head that was the problem. He's got Jezebel running around in there, chasing him around, and he's running for his life. So the refreshing and the restorative bread and water is at his head. Because if God can get you to think right, he'll get you to walk the right direction. He'll get you to work with your hands. You'll be a witness like you can be. But somebody's witness here today has been put on hold because of the conflict you've been in. And you don't feel worthy to testify. Did you ever stop to think that the Lord's asking you to testify not about what you're going through right now, but about what you have witnessed? Did you witness the power of God touching you in this altar 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 minutes ago? You have a right to testify of that. Yeah, maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, did something that you shouldn't have done. Maybe your marriage is at the lowest point that it's ever been, and you come to church and you don't feel worthy to be used of God. But that's the trickery of hell. That's the enemy trying to stop your witness and silence your voice and immobilize you. You have to learn that even in conflict, I need to testify to somebody about the grace of God. Oh, well, I don't have credibility. Ain't none of us got credibility without the cross. Nobody has credibility without the grace of God. Nobody has credibility without the mercy of the Lord that is everlasting. I get my credentials because I've been to the cross, and the cross saved me, and the blood of Jesus cleansed me. And sometimes I need a work of regeneration. I need to come back and activate those baptism waters again, not by getting rebaptized, but by the washing of regeneration, the preaching of the word that cleanses the way I think, that changes the way I live, that fixes what I've broken, that repairs a breach in a relationship that I don't know how to fill up. The Bible said he looked, and behold, so the cake is baking, a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and he just laid down again. Because sometimes, folks, the message is just for you to rest. The breaking of the bread is for restoration. Just rest. Don't feel guilty if you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do next. But you're waiting on God, and you're feeding on his word, and you're storing it in. Because the next verse says, verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time. See, the first feeding was only about rest. But the second time he tested him, he said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. The first feeding was about rest and restoration. The second feeding was about revelation and going forward. Notice he said, arise and eat. See, you can't go on until you get up. You got to decide, I'm going to get up. You got to decide I'm going to be awake. You got to decide that I'm not going to stay in this slumber of intimidation, that I'm not going to be lullabied to sleep by the deceptions of the world, that I'm not going to stay here in this wilderness. I've been here long enough. God has done for me in this wilderness what he said he was going to do. Now I'm getting up and moving on. The first feeding was about rest, but the second feeding was about going forward. Get up and do something now. Move on. Get past this. Somewhere you've got to make a progression in your trips to the altar of praying for the same thing over and over again. Maybe you're getting rest in that, and maybe God is beginning to touch you with restoration and giving you confidence back, but eventually you're going to have a second feeding in the altar, and you're going to have to move on to where that doesn't bother you anymore, and that temptation doesn't trip you up anymore, and that relationship is not always broken up anymore. How many would be honest with God to say, Lord, I'm ready for a second feeding? Now, maybe some of you haven't even got the first feeding. You're still needing some rest. You're still needing some things to get restored to your faith and confidence and wounded trust. Some envies and jealousies and strife that needs to be excised, removed from you. And you're saying, Lord, where's my juniper tree? Send me an angel. Let a ministering spirit come to feed me today. In the name of Jesus, let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Praise God. Sometimes the Lord sends a message and it becomes part of a common theme. You can have 10 evangelists come through and a prophetic voice here and there, coupled with what your pastor's been teaching, and local evangelists and preachers in the church have been teaching, and they all seem to be woven together, and you go, wow, that's amazing how God has orchestrated that and seem to be putting all these pieces together, because we just heard something similar a few weeks ago, or this is the third or fourth time the Lord has ministered to me about this, because maybe you're in that first phase of God putting things in you, restoring you, hydrating your spiritual man, so that when that second feeding comes, you're ready to make the journey. You're ready to finish the task. You're ready to go again in Jesus' name. This is why you can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I need to get together with my brothers and sisters and not just feed off the energy I'm going to get from God and the Holy Ghost, but off of the faithfulness and the testimonies of my brothers and sisters, that I'm gonna get something from them by being connected with them and to them and their faith and their inspiration in Jesus' name. The first feeding is often what God's doing for you, but the second feeding is where you start doing it for him. This is what you're going to do for him. Maybe some of you, and I feel this in the Holy Ghost, have been kind of caught here between the two. Maybe something has happened to you recently that has threatened your spiritual confidence and even tried to destroy your faith, corrode your convictions, take away certain principles that you've lived by because you've done something maybe you've never done before. But the Holy Ghost is here to help somebody today. Get some bread and water. Take the Word of God. Get it in your spirit in the name of Jesus. Be renewed by the Word of God, because he's going to go in the strength of that meat for 40 days. The first feeding was about rest, but the second feeding had the power of endurance in it. He was getting spiritual stamina built up. I may not be ready, but when God gets ready for me to move, I'm going to be so full of the Word of God. I'm going to be so ready in the Holy Ghost, I'll have the endurance that fear won't cause me to faint, that I won't be some scrap of bones or heap of failure on the wayside somewhere a few miles down the road. I'll get to where I'm supposed to go. I'll make it to my destination because I've been receiving the word. I've been storing it in. The angels of the Lord have been working for me. How many needs God? How many here right now? You need the Lord to do something for you. It's a time-sensitive thing. This is an area that I felt the Holy Ghost working in the last 2 or 3 years for people. But it's a very time-sensitive issue. I want you to stand up and lift your hands.
to the Lord. It's a time-sensitive matter. Just stand up and worship the Lord in the name of Jesus. It's a time-sensitive thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, let's pray together where you're standing right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God. Ula maroho shande ketelele makuya mahandele namos. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just stand out now. I want you to just kind of step out in the aisle. All of you that are standing right now, just step out in the aisle. It could be a physical situation, financial situation. It could be a combination of things. But you're saying, Lord, this is a very time-sensitive issue. Some things need to happen in the next few days. I need a spiritual breakthrough here more immediately in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our voices and pray for a moment, church. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus right now. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, give direction right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I see like a calendar, and there's a month torn out. So like if it said October, November, December, and it looks like November's torn out. I feel to tell you, look ahead, but not too far ahead. It's not as far off. In the name of Jesus. It could be that you get to December and look back and realize God did it in November. I think that's what that means in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord, church, right now. It's one of the reasons that I wrote God's time zone. I was preaching in San Diego, and I had not changed my watch. It was an early morning service. He had an 8:30 and an 11 o'clock service, and this was the 8:30 service. They handed me the microphone. About 8:45, I looked at my watch. It said 9:45. I knew I had not already been preaching an hour. But I began to preach right there on the spot how that we do the same thing with God. We're in the wrong time zone. We think God's miracle shop is closed, and it's not. We're in our time zone of reasoning and human conflict and fear and intimidation and temptation and so on. And we need to set our watches according to the Word of God. And that's where we're at here today, because there are some time-sensitive issues here. And reaching out to all kinds of situations. But you have to understand right now that God is working And you may simply be between the first and the second feeding. Maybe you've been hearing the word of God in a particular area of your life several times. How many would say that? That you've heard either in the preaching or somebody praying for you. You've received several confirmations about things, but you haven't moved forward yet. So you've been getting the first feeding. It's been coming in. You've been getting rest and confidence, and I know God's going to do something, but it hasn't happened yet. I feel like for many, the second feeding's coming this weekend. The angel of the Lord's moving in that second phase now, and you're going to see some breakthrough. If you believe that, lift your hands to the Lord in Jesus' name. There's going to be some breakthrough, and there's going to be not only confirmation, but you're going to move from confirmation to fulfillment. Now, if you believe that, I want everybody that believes that word from the Lord that's standing right now, take three steps forward, because I just gave that word to everybody standing, and shout unto the Lord. You just progressed in the Spirit. God, we believe that we are moving from confirmation to fulfillment. That we're moving from rest back to journey. That we're getting ready to move forward. That we're getting ready to get past some obstacles that have hindered us. Some financial stresses that have held us back. Glory to God. Come on, lift up your voice unto the Lord. Come on, pray for a fellow laborer standing right there by you. Touch my sister right now. Whatever it is that she's struggling with, that this man or woman's going through, or this couple or this family's going through right now, that's a very time-sensitive man. Maybe somebody is getting ready to lose their house, and God has got to help them because the rates and the kind of loan that they have has been tearing them up. But God can make a way where there seems to be no way, and we trust the Lord right now. Somebody might be facing foreclosure in the next 30 to 60 days. Talk about time sensitive. But God can make a way. God can help bring in more work for you. Whatever he has to do, the mercy of God can work. Come on, let's believe that. Let's pray it together right now in the name of Jesus. My, my, my. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, all of you that are standing, I want you to quickly make your way down to the front. Those of you that are standing, quickly make your way down to the front and just spread out for a moment in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now let's wait on the Lord together. When you come down, just lift up your hands to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. It's not too late. Hallelujah. It's not too late. Listen, everybody listen to the word of the Lord for a moment. Because while I'm ministering to somebody specifically, there can be general application to somebody else in a familiar place. You don't have to wait for somebody to come to you specifically. I just go according to the leading of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I feel the Lord telling you it's not too late. In the name of Jesus. They've been telling you it won't work, but it's not too late. Hallelujah, right now. I have no idea what this means, but I'm going to trust God. I feel the Lord to tell you, you still have a 3-year window. Let's worship God together in Jesus' name. Now I haven't read your paper, but the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and said there's a new corporation coming to Birmingham. In fact, they're not, it's Let's worship the Lord for a moment, church. Praise God. I believe it's going to be set up northeast of town. So that'd be northeast of downtown. And somebody here is going to get a tremendous opportunity. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. God's prepared. Listen, God's preparing you with the necessary qualifications in what you're doing right now, but that's not where you're going to stay. When this place, when whatever this corporation is, comes in and builds and begins to expand, you're going to be one of the ones they tap to play a major role. It's going to increase your finances at first by 30%, within the next 6 months to 100%, and within 2 years, 200%. Now, don't come and ask me what I said. You're going to have to get it right now, because I'm just following the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. You see, I believe God does this. It could be that God woke up the owner of this thing or the board of this thing one day. They may not even be churchgoers of any kind. But say, I want you to take that business to Birmingham, because I got a child of God that I'm getting ready to be a, that's going to be a part of this, and they're going to have a financial blessing so that they can be a financial blessing. Praise God, praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. You may already know what it is. It may be something that's already transpiring. Like I said, it may be something obvious to you folks. I didn't read your newspaper when I came into town. I don't know what's going on here as far as corporations or business opportunities. I'm just telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Let's lift our hands and love Him in Jesus' name. Somebody's getting, you're going to have to hear this. This is why I believe the Lord brought me here on October the 7th today, not just because Pastor and Sister Sutton are on vacation and it was a convenient thing for me to fill in. The timing of the Holy Ghost brought me, because there are several people, you're getting your second feeding from the Holy Ghost. What that means is you're moving from confirmation to fulfillment. You're moving from rest to going on, to putting it in action in the name of Jesus. In other words, whatever process has been on hold and you've been listening to God and trusting God and the devil's been trying to tell you it ain't ever going to happen, and how many has that worked on? But you say, no, I'm going to trust the Lord. And I know I keep getting messages and confirmations and so on. But hear me. Several of us are moving from the first to second feeding. And you're going to walk in fulfillment. It's going to come to pass. You're going to testify of it. It may be a miracle in your physical body. It may be something as simple as something going on in your home. I don't mean a major conflict. It could just be something you've been waiting on in your family. In Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands and thank Him for it right now. The word of the Lord that is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's listen for a moment. It's like it goes from one thing to another. One thing gets fixed, something else breaks down. That gets fixed, something else breaks down. I feel encouraged in the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes when you go through this, it's naturally human for us to go, okay, what else? And to look at it from a negative standpoint. But the Lord wanted me to tell you, look at the things I fixed. And if it's broken, if something else is broken, it's just another opportunity for me to show you my glory, for me to reveal the mercy of God in your life. You know what I believe? When we get to heaven, the Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. I believe, though, we're going to get to heaven and the Lord is going to reveal to us what would have happened had we not come to God and been submissive to God. And then he's going to show us not only the extension of our life, but he's going to show us all the blessings in that extension of life we would never have received if our tombstone would have been put back here. Does it make sense? Even being in the church, some of you are standing up here right now are supposed to be dead, and you're still alive, quickened by the healing power of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, not just a word I gave to our dear brother, but there's some others that may be standing here right now, and it's easy to go, man, we get one thing together, and then this one messes up, and that one gets in. You know, you feel like you ever played that whack-a-mole game somewhere or seen your kid play it? You go, pop that one down, and another one pops up. I'm like, whoo! But all this is, well, that's going to be a testimony, and that's going to be a testimony, and that's going to be a testimony. And you just keep bringing it on, devil, because God's going to translate everything you bring against me into a testimony, into something that I'm going to add to the arsenal of my faith and trust in God. Praise God. How many believe that to be true? You're raising your hand right now. You're going through a real tough time, but you've already been through some other tough times. God's already proven himself over and over again in your life. In Jesus' name. Let's wait on the Lord just a few more moments. Just a few more moments. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Awesome. We need to lift our hands and thank God for that. See, that was just another confirmation that some of you are getting ready to move forward into fulfillment. That God's been working on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I remind some of you? You remember when Samson fought the 1,000 Philistines in the book of Judges? Slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. But remember when Samson was done and he was thirsty and felt like he was going to die? When did God provide the fountain out of that jawbone? When he let it go. As long as he held on to that jawbone, it was a fight. But when he let it go, God turned his fight into a fountain. The thing that seemed to be a struggle for him became a blessing to him. Praise God. Isn't it amazing that when you and I will let go of certain things in the way that we perceive them and look at them the way God looks at them, it quits working against us and it starts working for us. You can't explain it. Sometimes it's not even logical. But it's trusting God. Letting him be the director of the, trusting his GPS system. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands one more time in the name of Jesus. I'm not just trying to hold you here. I don't want to be too quick to dismiss you. But just even if it's just a couple of more minutes, let's make sure the Lord has finished talking this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Kandelara masota la rama koma son de la keta shehe anda hasikia. Sikona makoma nanda sheheri ada hade je. Sikora makoma nanda hasikere di hasia. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I need a couple of brothers. I don't know who this gentleman is right here. But right here. Just stand by him and pray with him. I felt to tell you, and I'm just going to give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me. There's been some inspections that haven't passed. But after the improvements, every one of them will pass. Now, you and God know what that applies to. In the name of Jesus, let's thank the Lord right now. Let's pray for this gentleman right now. The Lord not only hears prayer, but he answers prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We trust your word today, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it right now. Thank you for Hondo Hoshande la Makanda. Woo Kande la Bo Sota la Kandrehesia. Ritoya Dolobo Koshande la Mokosa de la Mahaya. Hey, listen for a moment. How many of you? I don't know if you had a parent like I had a parent, but I could have cleaned something when I was a kid and thought I did a pretty good job. But I worked on that. Mama come along and go, hold that finger out. I can't even see the dust. But she's got, you know, x-ray vision. she not only can see the dust, she can see the dust mites. Your eyes are like an electron microscope. Now you got to clean that a little more. If I clean that anymore, I'm going to peel the porcelain off the thing. But what do you do? Yes, all right, we'll clean it. And then they come back, and they say, all right, that's better. Not quite how I would have done it, but it'll pass. Don't get discouraged. If you've been working on an area in your life, and the Holy Ghost comes along, because God can see things that you and I can't see. And he really does have microscopic vision. And he may see something that to you seems harmless right now, but it could become very harmful. And I say, you know what? I want you to clean up that area of your life just a little more. You got just a little speck of pride there left. And you're going, my Lord, I've prayed about that. Okay, God, I'm going to clean that a little bit more. Because doesn't it feel good when you feel the Holy Ghost come back to you in an encouraging way and say, that's better. Looks a whole lot better. That attitude, it looks a lot better right now. I think I can now bless you with this or this or this in Jesus' name. God's not a tyrant. He's not a ruthless dictator. He's a loving father. And just like you that were raised with a strict mom or dad that get it done right, it put a discipline in you. And you grew up with that. See? Praise God. Even more so in a spiritual sense. The Lord's touching you and talking to you. And I feel like he's telling several of us, you got a lot of good things going for you, but this one area in your life, you just need to work on it. And that's why can't any of us play the judgmental game. Well, look at what she's doing. Well, look at what he's doing. When you start looking in the mirror of God's word yourself, you go, whoo, I didn't know my hair looked that bad.
How'd my tie get that crooked? I got some things I need to straighten up. Praise God. Because isn't that what preaching is for? Fivefold ministry for what? One of the things, the perfecting of the saints. God doesn't want you to settle for less than what you can be and what you can have. And what you can have is predicated on what you are to be. We have to be clean and pure in heart. Then we can see God. Amen? Okay, we'll say to be continued tonight. Because I could go on another hour right now, but I don't want to mess up your hungry bellies and attention span. But how many will come tonight with an expectation to hear from God? And I feel like we'll finish what we started this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? I don't like to give official dismissals. Somebody may want to stay around the altar and pray a little while. So I'm just going to lay the microphone down, and whatever's supposed to happen will happen in Jesus' name.